Welcome to the Move Rural Canada podcast, where every week we showcase incredible businesses in rural and northern Canada. Businesses that are not only growing, but are looking to hire.
We're here to show you companies and communities outside of the big cities that are building stronger and more inclusive workplaces. Workplaces that want and are encouraging newcomers, immigrants, and refugees to work with them.
Let us be your guides to help you find the best places in Canada to not only immigrate, but build a career and settle.
I'm your host, Leah Mitchell.
And I am your co-host, Lindsay Rubernick.
Join us as we learn about all of the amazing career opportunities in places that you may not have ever thought of moving.
Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Move Rural Canada. Today, we're going to have a little bit of a solo only with the host episode. Being that it is November now, Lindsay and I got to thinking something that's really important for both newcomers and Canadians, depending on where you are in Canada, is living in a country that has winter. So today we're going to really focus on what does winter in the prairies look like and what you need to be safe. Right, Lindsay?
You bet. I think there's a couple important topics that we should cover. And again, as you mentioned, this is not only for newcomers, but for those who may have lived in Canada for a very long time, but have not lived in the prairies, right? So one part of Canada, in terms of wintertime, you know, can be, let's say, much nicer or not as cold. So if you're moving into the prairies, we do have very cold winters, and it is different compared to those other provinces and territories in Canada.
And this would be, I would say, too, similar to what it would be in northern Canada as well. If anything, they probably have even more precautions. But our focus and experiences are mostly in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta. But I've also lived in northern Manitoba, so I have some experience as well of how cold it gets up there too. But let's be honest, once it gets to past minus 30, it's just really, really cold.
Yes. Yes. No. Okay. That'll be good. That'll be good to hear your perspective. All right. So let's start with the number one thing that we think every Canadian newcomer should be prepared for in terms of living in the prairies during wintertime.
Well, I think number one, there's two important things. What happens to schools and what happens to work? Because that's going to affect your choices, I think, as to whether you go out or not. So when we're talking about winter, we're talking about not just snowstorms, we're talking about weather that's really cold. So that minus 25, that minus 30, that where your skin can freeze after a few seconds. So let's start with schools. So
sure.
For most people in the prairies, especially when you're living in rural. Now, as far as I know, if you're in a city, school just stays open, doesn't matter how cold. But what can happen is kids will often not go outside for recess. They'll have shorter amounts of time outside. Now, if you get into rural areas, things like schools can close completely. So I know where I live, once it gets to a certain temperature, number one, kids don't go outside for recess, but school is still on. But once you get, and I'm pretty sure it's minus 45 with the wind chill,
minus 45
completely. And the buses don't run. Sorry, go ahead.
And so, Leah, how would somebody know about this? And so if you are coming out and you just relocated to a rural community, is it in your school division, similar to our school divisions, where you would sign up to get a text in the morning and emails? Does yours work the same?
Yes. Yeah. We get a phone call at about 6 in the morning, and then you know that there's no school.
Yeah, so that's good. So a lot of people always be wondering, yeah, how would I know if a school's going to be closed? How do I prepare for the day? So I do know that schools oftentimes try to determine it earlier on in the mornings. However, sometimes there are times when it doesn't read minus 45 with the wind chill, but it becomes, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and that's where it gets to. So it's not always a perfect working system, but I know our school divisions do try their best. And in terms of, yeah, school closures, I know our teachers are oftentimes asked to travel into the schools. Schools will remain open, even with, you know, if it's minus 35, our schools will be open. And it is your choice to take your child to school, but usually transportation will not be provided at that point.
Yes. Yeah. There's that difference, right? Sometimes they just cancel buses and then school is still on, or they just close schools completely. So as a parent, if you have children, that's sort of that you have to figure out, well, if you still have to work, or are you calling in sick to work, or are you bringing your kids with you? So that's the fun challenge. Now, something else to think about, if you work in the city oftentimes and it's just cold, work is still on. So that's, I know where I live, that happens a lot, because while we're rural, you're close to the city, people are still expected to go to work, but now the schools are closed. So,
and even in rural towns, though, I've lived in rural Manitoba for pretty much all my life, and I do not remember any stores really closing or anyone closing up their workplace, even when it's minus 45, even in rural Manitoba. So usually workplaces do remain open, and they usually do say, the employers say, travel with caution. And if you cannot make it in due to, you know, vehicle issues or you feel unsafe, then you need to call your employer and let them know. But more often than not, probably 95% of the time, workplaces do remain open no matter how cold it gets. You bet.
Now, obviously, we're talking about just cold, but when you get into blizzard-like conditions, that can be a different story. Now, for people who live in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, you know, where we have the prairies, when you get a large blizzard, we often call it a whiteout, for people who haven't heard of that, where you could be driving and it literally looks like there's a wall of white in front of you. You can't see past the front of your car. I'm sure, Lindsay, you've been in a few of those as well.
You betcha. Every year, probably, I would say on average, let's go from December to March, probably twice a month. And then February, March is usually, everybody thinks January is pretty bad, but I think that March is usually the month where we see the most activity in terms of whiteouts. And the issue with a snowstorm is that it can happen any time of day, right? So it's not just like, oh, they only happen in the mornings or the evenings. It's, you know, you can be driving from, let's say, Dauphin, Manitoba, and you're going down through Assabee Ski Hill, and you come up and you're reaching Russell, Manitoba. It could be completely different. It could be beautiful and sunny out, and then, you know, an hour and a half into your drive near Russell, it could be a total blizzard, a total whiteout. So you're right. Those are things that you have to be prepared for. Even if it's beautiful where you start, you may be reaching a destination where there's actually a blizzard or, you know, some storm cell in that area. So you always have to read the road conditions and the weather for that specific area you're going to, not just where you are at the current moment.
And you have to be aware that if you don't have a lot of experience, you shouldn't drive if you can help it. You know, even someone born and raised in Manitoba, if I don't have to go out, I don't go out. You know, that's when accidents happen. I mean, I've been in the ditch, I'm going to say, I think 3 times I've been in. How about you?
Oh yeah, I've rolled my vehicle once. As black ice. So if anybody wants to know what black ice is, just look it up on the net. Maybe we'll put a link to black ice. And it's really, you can't see it. That's really what it is. And yeah, and you lose control of your vehicle and you flip it. We aren't trying to scare you guys. It's just really, you have to be very cautious, you know, and very safe. Because the other thing that happens is when people that don't really drive during winter, they often go very, very slow, right? Which I get it, right? It's normal response. You want to drive slow. You aren't sure what's ahead of you. However, what happens is that encourages the people who are confident on the highway to want to pass. And then when they pass, they themselves sometimes don't know if there's a vehicle ahead. They just got really frustrated at the driver that's going slow. So even though you're someone that you know, may want to go out and you may want to go somewhere, but you aren't really confident, you say to yourself, oh, you know, I'm just going to drive really slow and I'll get there. Actually, that's a hindrance to other drivers as well, because you don't want to drive too fast and you don't want to drive too slow. There's a certain average that we pretty much, I think it's like 70 or 80 that will drive during a blizzard. And then it kind of goes down if there's ice underneath, right? So that's the, you know, that's the whole thing. So living out in the prairies, it takes a little time to get used to the driving. You will get used to it, but just at first, these are some things that you just got to be aware of. As well as, you know what, Leah, we should talk about what you should have in your vehicle for the wintertime. which we all have in our vehicles.
Yeah, but actually going through this weekend and making piles for our vehicles of what needs to be in there. So I'll make a list of what I put in for my vehicles. So number one, each has a little shovel. So like a little mini shovel in case someone goes in the ditch, you know, to help with digging out if needed. Number two, I usually have a couple pairs of boots as well. You know, I've got teenagers wear sandals and running shoes. It's not cool. So I just always have their winter boots in the vehicles. A couple pairs, if we're just going to Winnipeg, you know, it's easy enough. If something happened to get a tow truck, you know, if it's just, we slipped in the ditch, but boots, everyone always has hats, mitts. I always keep extra neck warmers, hats and mitts, as well as ski pants. I also keep some candles, a lighter, first aid kit, and then obviously a charger in there. And two other things I always make sure to do as well. I never leave without a full tank of gas in the winter, because if I get in the ditch, right, you want to be able to still have your heat. A phone charger, and I try to make sure my phone is sort of fully charged all the time as well. And also too, someone knows where I'm going, you know, so that if, you know, I'm not going anywhere, so people don't know. And I mean, I would say too, it also sort of depends. If I'm just going to Winnipeg, you know, I might pull a few things out if I need room. But if I'm going on a longer trip to say Saskatchewan, 100%, I've got, you know, enough for everyone in the entire family. So, and I just keep in my cars all winter.
Those are great lists. You know, you just brought something. I just thought of something. The worst snowstorms of Manitoba last year. I'm going to put myself online here, but I really believe people got stranded on TransCanada outside of Winnipeg. I remember those. So here's the misconception about living in rural Manitoba. Everybody thinks, well, I'm on TransCanada, I'm going to be okay. I just have to drive into Winnipeg from these commuter communities, right? Actually, I remember a guy that got stuck on TransCanada for 6.5 hours last year. And it was because of whatever, there was an accident and then whatever happened, right? But it was during winter. He was 10 minutes away from his house and he couldn't turn around because the traffic had, you know, he had to stay there, right? So even if, you know, you're saying, I'm just going to Winnipeg, you should actually really seriously still be prepared, because a lot of the commuter, you know, highways and stuff like that, and even TransCanada, you can get stuck on TransCanada. It happens. It happens every year. So please do what Leah says, and, you know, make sure you have a full tank of gas. Make sure you have all those things with you, and even, you know, some snacks, right? So talking about this guy that got stuck on TransCanada for at least 6.5 hours, because I remember thinking he missed his whole work day, because I laugh, and I actually knew him, and I said, how'd you make out? And he goes, you know, I had everything ready, except he goes, you know, I didn't bring with me was any snacks, so I was really hungry, and he said, there was nowhere I could go get anything, right? So also just having some, you know, some snacks with you as well would be also another great tip. But everything else you said, Leah, is pretty good.
Well, and you make a good point. I mean, you could be waiting for a tow truck for 6 hours. If there is a huge blizzard and you get in the ditch and there's a lot of people in the ditch, it can be hours and hours. And that's why it's important to have things like, if you run out of gas from heating, you know, that you have candles. But just a note on the running your car is that if you are in the ditch, make sure that your exhaust pipe is not covered by snow.
That's right.
So that's something else that sometimes you get in the ditch, there's snow around your car. You need to make sure that exhaust pipe is clear, so that's not coming in the car. And we're not doing this to terrify everyone. You know, I think every region in the world has the, you know, to people who don't live here, all this stuff might sound crazy, but, you know, I think of other places that have other things. And I think that just seems crazy, but we're just so used to this. This is just how we've grown up, you know?
Yeah. So I think I have to wrap up the vehicle section four. We're talking about winter driving on the prairies. And really what we're saying is be prepared, have a full tank of gas, let people know where you're going. If you do not feel comfortable driving your vehicle, then don't drive. That's as simple as that, right? And make sure you're checking the area, your destination of where you're going, not only currently where you are, but where you're going to end up, because it might be really, really nice in where you are, but come, you know, 2 hours later, you may be hitting a snowstorm, right? So I think our vehicle section is actually pretty good. And as well, you can also log on to There's different websites, like Manitoba has websites and so on and so forth.
Check the quality of the highways as well, and it'll show if they're icy, if they're snow covered, all of those things. And I would also add to that, to people too, that oftentimes storms get so bad that highways will be closed. And if there's anything I can recommend, do not go on those highways when they're told that they're closed. Because oftentimes, living in rural, right, people take back roads. But if a highway is closed, that's telling you all the roads should be closed. They just can't block all the roads.
And they don't have to come get you once they close the highway. There is nobody coming to get you till they reopen it, because they aren't going to let a tow truck, and they aren't, and the RCMP is not going to let their staff travel on the closed road.
So the main road near you is closed, that's a sign you shouldn't be going out at all. Just stay home.
That's right.
You know, Leah, the one thing we got to add before we leave the vehicle section is about plugging in your car. So there are some things you should know. My daughter has a VW, a Tiguan, and it's a plastic oil pan and so on and so forth. So when I went to get her a plug-in for her car, because it didn't come with it, and even though they said Tiguan shouldn't need it, we actually had to get that oil pan replaced. So you're going to hear people talk about plugging in your cars, because the engines can get very cold and not start. So in order to keep the heat going, we do literally plug in our cars. So you want to make sure that you're able to access an extension cord, and that your vehicle does have a plug-in. And if you take it into a dealership or a local mechanic shop, you need to make sure that your car is suited to be able to be plugged in. So that's something else that we should talk about or reference in terms of maintaining a vehicle. And
well, I would add, it is very hard. Some cars still might start, but it is very hard on your car. Now, if your car is in a heated garage, you don't need to do that, right? Or even if it's in a garage, you're probably okay. We're talking about cars that are outside all night long when it's, you know, minus 20 or colder. You know, you want to keep that car plugged in.
Yeah. So that's what, so when you pull up and you are sitting there and you see in a parking lot and you're at your condo or your apartment or something, and you see these plugins, that's what that's for. It's for your vehicle. It's not to plug in a stereo or anything. It's actually for your vehicle. Cause I know a while back, somebody stopped and asked me what the heck these plugins are for. And we just take it for granted that everybody knows what they are. But of course, if I walked into, or if I moved to another country, I wouldn't know what they were either. I would also add,
don't forget to unplug, because every year you will see people driving downtown with their cord dragging with their car. We've all done it.
No, I haven't yet, but oh my gosh.
I've done it.
Oh my gosh. Now you guys
and it can pull out your whole cord. So yeah, you've got to remember to unplug as well.
Okay. Let this not be the year I do that. All right.
Okay. What's our next one?
Dressing for the weather. We talked about kind of what you should have in your car, but what do you have just for yourself in general to keep warm? Because, you know, just because it is minus 30, you can still go out and go sledding and have fun. But what do you make sure to have to wear?
So we have it's like underwear, long underwear, and we call them long johns. So I always wear them. People either choose to wear skidoo pants, right? Or one piece.
You say skidoo pants or ski pants. Other people might hear that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Ski pants. People might also call them snow pants.
Snow pants. Thank you. And so I choose to usually wear long johns. And so that's because when I dress up and I'm wearing like slacks and so on and so forth, pants, those can go on underneath and they keep you warm. So they're like flannel, or they are like, there's a certain material where it's warmth, right? So I always have those on. And as you said, I'm older, so I don't have to be cool. I do have my toque with me at all times. I do have mitts. I have my dress winter jacket. I also have my winter jacket. So if I do hit the ditch, I'm going to put that on instead of my dress jacket that I wear to work. And I also have my dress boots that I wear to work, but I also have, as you said, I have my winter boots with me as well. So I think it's more just, making sure you have your toque, your mitts, and a scarf. A scarf can be something where it's basically where it goes around your neck. And it, because oftentimes your coat doesn't cover your whole neck, and you'll get that cold, cold wind going down your throat area. So I also make sure I have a scarf as well. And of course, winter boots, right? I think I've said that already, but yeah, that's my list.
It's funny you sort of mentioned it. It's absolutely, I think most of us who work in the prairies have kind of two sets of winter gear. We have our our dressed winter gear and our we're going to be outside for a couple hours winter gear. So yeah, I'll sort of talk about the I'll be outside all day. It's minus 20 or colder weather. Same thing. I wear my long underwear. I wear my ski pants. So long underwear, then probably a pair of sweatpants or something, then my ski pants. So basically three layers on your legs, you know, depending on the boot. I will say to people, invest in a good boot because and invest in something that says, you know, warm for minus 30 or
yes.
You want, you know, it gets cold out here. You need a good warm and your kids need good warm boots because even if it's minus 20, they're going to be outside playing. So they need to be warm. You can wear that with a wool sock. You can wear that with regular socks. You don't want to sweat because then your feet get cold. So you want to try to keep it just warm. So I'll put some links to sort of boots or things that we recommend so people get a good sense of what a good quality boot is.
And, you know, I think also we should mention Hot Paws. We are not being paid by the brand Hot Paws, but they are not a sponsor. But there could be other things too. But everybody always thinks since you grew up on the prairies that you're just thick and you're tough. And I am so not. So even though I have these really, I only have one pair of great mitts I absolutely love and I won't leave the house without Hot Paws. I'll leave the house with those one pair of mitts, but everything else, I usually have this thing called Hot Paws and you put them in your mitts and you can get them at gas convenience stores and other places. I'm sure at Costco you can get a full box of them and you put them in your mitts or in your boots and over time, like in a 3 to 5 minutes, like you kind of rub them and it warms up. So if you're somebody that has a just fairly cold hands or cold feet just to start with, even the best boots that you wear, you might still find that you get pretty cold. So having a couple Hot Paws, these little bags that warm your hands up really fast, and you can wear them in your gloves and everything, might also be something that you look at investing to. I know a lot of people even that have lived here for quite a while still don't know about Hot Paws. They've never really seen them before. So
we use them too. I totally agree. Yeah. They can be very helpful. And speaking of mitts too, go for the invest in a good pair of mitts. Like when we talk about mitts, we're not talking about just hand knitted mitts. We're talking about there's like insulation in them. The outside is like a waterproof, you know, that's going to block the wind and keep you warm. You need something solid to keep you warm. And that's not going to get super, super wet when you're outside.
Yeah. We aren't talking magic minis.
Yeah.
Right. Those are barely good for fall, but, and yarn, you're perfectly right. Even though it's pretty and, you know, there is fun and all that stuff it, with your hands, it's really not going to help you. So I think Leah's really right is you got to look for the boots, for the jacket, for your mitts, really look at the tag and make sure it says minus, you know, that is built for minus whatever, because that's really going to help you, you know, spend a day outside or even a couple hours outside.
And I would even say if you're going to spend money, spend it on the boots and the mitts. Yes. Ski pants and jacket, you can wear layers underneath to keep yourself warmer, right? Your long johns, yeah. Your extra sweaters, you know, your puffy vest underneath. Because jackets can be quite expensive and I totally understand. So if you're going to spend the money, spend it on the mitts and your boots and the long underwear. And then that'll, you know, and then obviously, yeah, same thing, scarf or I like neck warmers and then a good toque, a good hat that you can cover over your ears and make sure that jacket has a hood because when you are walking and that wind is blowing, having that neck warmer toque and then a hood over it, just that hood just makes all the difference. So that wind's not getting in your neck.
Awesome. Okay. So I think that is good. Oh yeah. One more thing. If you have children, you should really look at getting a couple pairs of mitts as well. And we have, even for older kids, even for myself, I've actually worn where you can tie them together so they hang out the sides of your jacket, like in the sleeves. But specifically for kids, you might want to look at investing in a couple pairs because they're notorious for just leaving stuff behind. So, you know, try and invest in just a pair of backup mitts as well, because the chances of children losing them or misplacing them is very high.
Yeah. Or like you said, get those, you know, I know when my kids were young, I had exactly the clips on their things. That's what, cause I mean, yeah. Or a string or something that's going to keep those mitts with their jackets. So yeah, I think that pretty much covers all of our our winter recommendations for the prairies. I mean, we don't have any snow yet, but I'm crossing my fingers. I need some snow. Now that it's November, I want snow. So I'm putting it up.
Yeah. And you know what? Before we go, let's just talk just really quickly, though, about some winter activities that people can go ahead and look at doing, right? So there is often you can learn how to skate, right? There is small towns often have free times when you can learn how to skate. And oftentimes as well is you could go and get a pair of skates from, if you go down to the local rec commission, they might be able to find you a pair of skates for free, or, you know, a pair of skates that are not as expensive as what they would be if you walked into a store. So learning how to skate is something that maybe you can spend as good family fun activity.
And you're right. You can go to Canadian Tire and get a cheap pair. There's lots of used places you can get. You don't have go on the buy and sell. Like I was selling a while back, you know, skates for $5, you know, just we don't really skate a lot. So absolutely. Another one I would recommend is sledding and tobogganing. That's
easy
pastime for kids. Fun. Most towns have some kind of hill where kids can go and sled. You can go and get, we call them crazy carpets. You know, they're not that expensive and kids can fly down that hill.
That's right. And then if you're doing that, if you're doing skating at an outdoor pond, or if you're doing sledding down a hill, make sure you bring some hot chocolate with you. So you might want to invest in a thermos, right? And bring yourself some styrofoam cuffs. And then, because there's nothing worse when you don't really know a community or where you're at. And when I travel, I often see this, and all these families show up prepared, and you can sure tell you're the last to the party, or you don't know what's going on because everybody's pulling out all this stuff, and you're like, well, if only someone would have told me, I would have done that, right? So, you know, like bring hot chocolate and those kind of things with you, and that'll just make even the day a little bit more fun. So yeah, so skating, tobogganing, even hiking.
If you're new to an area, that's a great place to meet people as well. Cause that's what everyone's doing. I mean, that's what we do in the winter. My kids want to go tobogganing and sledding. Like that's, you know, on a nice day, the hill will be packed. Exactly. Yeah. So I would add to that. I'm trying to think of the more less expensive cross country skiing. You know, that's all I know around here. There's a lot of trails and you can rent skis for fairly cheap. There's like a community club that does that. Is that similar to what you guys have as well? Do you have a lot of cross country?
Yes. Yeah, we do. And hiking too. So if you come up to the depths and stuff like that, there's nothing that prevents anyone. It is free as long as you have a good pair of boots, you know, make sure you have a good quality pair of boots and you're set up, like we just said, prepared to be out in the cold. And hiking is cheap, it's free, and it's actually really cool what you can see in at winter time. You know, you have a totally different perspective and it's beautiful. Sometimes it's just breathtaking to see the sun on the snow, and it actually could be actually fairly warm too, right? So,
and it's a cool place to for those of you may who have not heard of snowshoeing. So you don't actually have to purchase snowshoes. I know we have a local place near us. It's called Okamak Marsh, and you can actually go there and rent snowshoes for like a couple bucks, and you can hike around, and if you want to try out snowshoes. But snowshoes are another thing people can try. Snowshoeing, hiking, you can all do it at the same place.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. So that's, I just wanted to mention that before we wrap up the show, is just end with something a little positive, because
I want people, exactly, like winter isn't, of course there's gonna be days you stay inside, but there's so much to do in the prairies in the winter. Like there's tons of festivals, there's lots of amazing opportunities, and that's, you don't want to sit inside all winter. Like it's good to get out and get that fresh air. I mean, it might be cold, but we've got the sun, you know, most of the time.
You know, believe it or not, it's actually pretty nice most of the time. Lots of us just wear a big sweater, and you know, I think it's the Canadian persona where you see the person wearing a sweater and maybe some mukluks and a toque, and you know, you see us, and that's usually the way how we dress, right? Just, you know, every so often we get that brutal snowstorm where it comes in and it takes us over for 2-3 days. But for the most part, it's actually usually pretty nice out. You get a little stir crazy and you want to go outside for your mental and physical health. You do want to continue going outside and helping your family thrive in a community where you want to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we covered it. But as always, please reach out. We're going to have a lot of links at the bottom just so you can see the types of things that we're talking about and have access to those resources. Obviously, ours because we're in Manitoba, we'll be a bit more Manitoba focused, but most provinces and territories will have the same thing. It's just a matter of typing in where you are, you know, Saskatchewan highways, you know, that sort of thing. And they'll have something similar. So thank you everyone for coming today, listening to us. Reach out as always if you have questions, and we'll see you next time.
Okay. And just wait, before we go, let's maybe Tanner from Grow Media. He produces our show for us. He also does social media and production. So maybe he can add on a link or two to show you some beautiful winter scenery in the Parkland area or rural Manitoba as well. So until next time, everyone, live rural, live well.
If you feel this could assist other people like yourself, please like and share our podcast. As well, we will leave links below to the topics we spoke about today. Thank you for listening, and join us next time to learn about another great company and community that is a great place to work and settle.